California.
My name is Darian Gold, and I teach Pilates. From my very first Pilates lesson in 1992, I knew the Pilates method would rock the world, and it has. Welcome to All Things Pilates, where each week you'll hear from a new guest.
KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Good morning and welcome to Inside Petaluma. I'm Sam Thomas, co-hosting with Dan Peter Thompson, who is in the studio today, and with Jason Davies, who is on the phone. Are you there, Jason?
I believe I'm here.
Oh, I can hear you, Jason. We are here and you are there. Where are you?
Yeah, well, I'm dialing in remotely from Monterey, actually.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I'm in town to pick up my daughter to bring her back home for the Labor Day weekend.
Home from where?
Well, we're going to be going back to Petaluma from Monterey today.
Yeah.
So.
But you're bringing her home. You're bringing her home from where?
From Monterey. So
I was trying to get you to say school.
Yes. Oh, college.
Exactly.
Yeah, college. Yeah, she just started college, and she's been out of the home for a few weeks, and we're looking forward to seeing her this weekend. So, I came down last night to get a jump on the traffic, because I think it's going to be pretty horrendous. So right after her class, which ends right after our show, actually, we'll be driving back to Petaluma. So I apologize if the reception's not good, and also I'm sorry that I'm not in the studio with you, because I am excited about the subject of today's show.
Hey, Jason, a quick question. How does it feel having your first child, and especially a daughter, move out and go to school, college?
I'm adapting.
I like that. That's a good answer.
No, I mean, you know, fundamentally, we all want our kids to be happy, I think. And she's very excited. She's very happy. And, you know, selfishly, of course, I, you know, was thinking I was going to miss her and thought, you know, why not hang out in Petaluma a little bit longer? Can't clip their wings. You gotta let them fly. And so, yeah, it's good. But she's not that far away, and we're staying in contact. What's also nice is it's a good excuse for me to come down here more often. It's a beautiful area, obviously. And, not that we don't live in a beautiful area ourselves in Petaluma, but it's a nice.
Monterey's pretty nice.
Yeah, right by the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm actually staying at a friend's right now, and from his balcony, you've got a nice view of Monterey Bay. It's very flat today, not a lot of wind, so it seems like the weather's going to be good. How is the weather shaping up in Petaluma today?
Actually, the weather's good.
Beautiful.
And tomorrow, I'm actually going fishing. And I'm going with Jeannie Guest, who is an amazing fisher person. And last week, she got a 30-pound halibut and 2 salmon. And so we're going out tomorrow together. And so I'm hoping for a halibut and maybe 2 salmon. So it's and I'm really happy to hear that the water is flat.
Nice.
Yeah, so we go underneath the Golden Gate. And last week was pretty good. You know, I took maybe too much Dramamine, but but it was good. I was sleeping in between fishing.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
We're lucky on the West Coast right now as compared to the East Coast.
That's true.
Hope everybody is as good as they can be with the oncoming hurricane.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen your daughter yet since you've been down there?
No, I saw her briefly last night.
Did you cry?
I got in.
Did you cry?
No. I mean, I was here last weekend, so I, you know.
We're laughing, Jason, because
we think you did.
Yeah, well, we know how it was really hard for you for your daughter to move out, and so we're just proud of you as a father.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you when I did cry. I cried when I was leaving her the last time I was here, and I gave her just a very encouraging talk and told her how much we missed her, but they were happy for her. And I think that's when I started to sort of tear up, and then I caught myself.
Well, you're a very good parent.
Yes, you are.
Both of you. You and Tunde.
I would want you to be my dad.
Yeah, you'd be a good dad to have.
That's very,
and Tunde would be a great mom. So,
well, anyway, we'll get on with it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make a couple more comments today after reading the Argus Courier yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, there's issues the school district addressing racism. And I actually I actually talked with Joanna Pond yesterday. And so we got into this subject, but I think her quotes or her comments in the paper is really important. And it's basically, we need to have more diversity in our Petaluma School District. I'm really impressed with actually St. Vincent's, because 3 years ago they got a new principal, and the principal has actually brought in diversity in a pretty, white school. And Joanna works at the school now. And I know our guest is kind of laughing, but no, I think it's really good. And this year, the percentage is pretty high percentage of making sure that it's a diverse community. Unlike our school district, that is just starting to work on that, and hopefully the Petaluma School District with our new board will be moving into having more diversity. I know there's a lot of controversy. Joanna got a lot of kind of hate mail over this, but it seems hard to believe that people would not want to talk about diversity, the importance of diversity in our schools. And that leads me to yesterday. I was with Sergeant Tim Lyons. He picked me up at my house, and we
from the Petaluma
Police Department. Thank you, Cindy. And he picked me up, and we kind of drove around the town, and he was showing me things that you normally don't see. And we were specifically talking about homeless and encampments. And so we walked the Lynch Creek Trail, and all of a sudden we're going over the footbridge, and we see there's like a little encampment there with the carpet, and there's a couch there, and there's, some men that were hanging out. One of them beelined quickly to McDowell, and the other two stayed, and Sergeant Lyons knew specifically one of the young men. He's a local boy, or local man. But a drug addict. And so, he knows him by name. And then he talked with the other person, homeless man. And then we decided to walk down the trail to check out what's going, down by McDowell. So we walked down there, and we walked by a woman who's new to Petaluma. She's lived here about 2.5 years. And some of her comments was she was really surprised at how conservative Petaluma is. And it's funny, people in Petaluma think we are so liberal, and I look at it as a very conservative town also.
Me too.
Yeah. And she talked about art and how, we're so closed-minded on art, and she's an artist. And she talked about the Progressive Festival. She stopped by, and she said, a lot of angry people. So it was interesting going on this tour of the Lynch Creek Trail and meeting this woman, and I did get her card, and I plan on, talking with her. But what we saw was Tim took me into Sergeant Lyons. We went into, encampments in bushes, and you couldn't even see where they were, but he knew where they were. And so we walked in this one encampment, and there's a small tent in the middle, one man in there. There was garbage surrounding him, and it just smelled like urine. I mean, it was really pretty yucky. And then Sergeant Lyon was saying, well, maybe you could take the garbage out and put it by the road. And this is by luxury, what's it called?
Limousine.
The luxury limousine. It was just north of that. And so he was suggesting maybe you could take the garbage and put it by the street because we will have somebody with the city come and pick it up. And so it's, there's a lot that our four city workers are doing to clean up these encampments, but there are encampments all around the town. And then another thing we talked about was parking issues, and about with all the new apartments in Petaluma, there are multiple people living in these apartments, complexes, in one apartment, and so there's probably 4 to 6 cars, and those cars are now spilling onto the street.
Yes.
And this is a problem. And so residents in residential neighborhoods are putting cones up to prevent people from parking in front of their house so they can park in front of their homes. And so it's an interesting conversation because it goes back to when Cindy and I met with our police chief, Ken Savano, and the city manager, and we were just talking about parking issues.
Right.
And so this is more so actually for me, I like seeing things better than just hearing it. I need to hear it and see it. And Petaluma has a real issue, and I think we really need to look at maybe parking permits. And I think it's a good conversation to have. Sergeant Lyons would like to be on the show.
And get those parking meters up downtown, damn it.
Well, we need to talk about it. It's a
revenue.
It's a revenue. And, and keep people from parking in neighborhoods. So, and this is, as a community grows, these are part of the problems that we have. But there's one quick one I just want to talk about is the mold-infested, cash-trapped Live Oak School.
Oh, I read that.
Yeah, and,
that's sad.
Well, and the thing is that particular school where the Rebuilding Together site is, there was a gas tank at Rebuilding Together because it used to be our old fire station.
Right.
And so that thing had been leaching for quite a few years. So you also have a gas tank that was leaching right next to this school. So
they have a capsule with dirt in it. Is it that came from the corporation yard, don't they?
I believe that is true, but with the gas tank, I know that they did remediation.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure. They did remediation for that, and the tests have come back negative, so that was a good thing.
Oh, good.
So it did what it was supposed to do, but those are two things that I just wanted to raise.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of hazardous waste.
Yes. Nothing. I just thought of fishing tomorrow, and I wanted to talk about it again, but I already did.
Yeah, you did.
What happened was when I went fishing, I got a 20-pounder, and it was the biggest fish of the day, so I won the pool.
Nice.
I know, that was exciting.
I want to know how you can dispose of that, the parts of the fish that you don't use, if there is any.
Well, I use.
I'm trying to think of a lead-in and a segue into our guest.
Well, there's not one part that I don't use, so our guests can talk about that.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk about waste.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Having said that, for waste what?
Having
my waste, it used to be small.
All right. Moving right along, let's introduce our guest.
Yes.
Today we have Lisa Moore on the show with us. She is a Waste Zero specialist for Recology. And if you're not familiar with Recology, those are the people that come and pick up those trash cans in front of your house once a week. Good morning, Lisa.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So, wow, this is a big topic. So, why don't we start off? You live here in Petaluma?
So, I live in Guitati, but I was raised, we came here when I was 3 months old. So, I'm basically a Petaluma girl, and my mom and my brother still live in Petaluma.
Okay.
So, I'm down here a lot. Petaluma's my territory. And then my brother and my mom live up on the hill, so
nice.
I'm there a lot.
Nice.
Lisa cares, manages her mom's care, and and I had done that also, so I know it's a lot of work. But her mom was actually involved in Petaluma politics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Well, since the time I've been little, my mom was very active in politics in Petaluma, Dolores Lewis, and she's 90, soon to be 91, and she was very active in the, we don't see eye to eye really on our politics, but very conservative, and was very active in getting a lot of policies put in. She was one of the big proponents of Prop 13. She also was one of the people that got the first successful recall in Sonoma County, which was Bill Corum and DeLong.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I was little.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the two successful recalls that have been in Sonoma County have been my mom and my husband. And my husband got the successful recall in Guitati of a council member, George Barish. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
like two opposite ends.
So that's a family history right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, it's sort of a redemption story a little bit.
It is. It is. Well, I was 10 when this all happened with my mom. So I
was interviewed by her mom and her group when I ran for city council. It was
it was
very interesting. And so, you know, I met your mom. And has she mellowed?
She's a force to be reckoned with. Still. She's definitely mellowed and gotten much more, I would say, liberal as she's gotten older. You have to. I mean, there's much more diversity in our family. So she's just mellowed that way. And, you know, at 90, I think she's seen a lot. So,
yeah.
But definitely raised with politics in my blood, and I was on city council, and my husband is currently on city council in Cotati, and I'm a current planning commissioner in Cotati, so, you know, we're hoping the next generation maybe follows through with some of my kids.
Well, and I'm a proud follower of you and your husband.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a lot of diversity right
there. No, it's a lot of diversity. I mean, you know, it's not just about, you know, you're here, you're coming and talking about what you do in recology, but there's so much more about you, and I wanted to make sure people knew.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Little did we know when we invited her on the show.
Look, she knows my husband's family quite well.
Yes.
And she knew my mother-in-law quite well. And so, I mean, we go back, you know, family history. And
did you just learn all that today, Janice?
No.
So you had intentions when you wanted her on the show.
I did. Yeah, it was
as usual.
Well, it wasn't just about, you know, recology. There was more to it, and you know, she's local.
Yeah.
And she's local to Sonoma County.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's
and
nice.
That's what we like.
Exactly.
We're inside Petaluma.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So she fits right inside that box.
Yes, she does. Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. Checking out the website, there's quite a bit of information here about your goals to achieve zero waste. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, with our company, our goal is to recover resources and make the best use out of them. And so when people just talk about waste and garbage, we really look at that as an opportunity for recycling and composting. So really my job for Petaluma as the representative, the waste zero specialist for Petaluma, is to educate as much as possible down here what goes where. Our website is really comprehensive that way. And then also just, I'm in the schools, I'm in businesses, I'm in the Rotaries, Kiwanis, whoever will have me during presentations. And, you know, the biggest question I get from people is, it's just too complicated. I don't know what goes where. So
yeah,
I try to really,
get into.
Yeah, I try to really simplify that and make it as easy as possible for people to really do the right thing and not be the wishful recycler that we call them when they look at their blue bin and they think, well, you know, I don't know if it goes in recycling, but I'm going to put it in anyways because it might be, it might not.
So what happens when people do that and then it gets to, what a surprise. Well, so what happens when it gets to its destination? Who separates the real recycling from what's garbage?
So our material recovery facility, the recycling goes up to Santa Rosa and we have sorters. So 50% of it is done by hand and 50% is automatic. You know, people touch your recycling. So you need to be aware of what you put in. I've seen all kinds of things put into recycling, you know, sharps, which is a real, you know,
hazard
for our people. I've also seen people put in saw blades. I think, you know, all kinds of things that people think that are recycling. You know, a lot of it is contamination. And when contamination goes into the recycling, it not only contaminates your recycling, but also the recycling on the truck, and once it gets on the tipping floor. So clean and dry recycling, proper recycling, cups, jugs, mugs, containers, bottles, you know, this is what we recycle, aluminum, tin, good clean paper, cardboard, all those things are recyclable. And so I would tell people, they always ask me about the triangle. Well, what does that triangle mean? Triangle means what it's made out of.
And that's the little stamp that you find on the bottom of a plastic container. Right?
So that's what it's made out of. It's not necessarily that that's a recyclable item in your waste stream. So what I always tell people, I'm like, are you on the computer or on the phone very much? Everybody's like, oh, yeah. I said, you know, maybe you want to take a glance at our website. It's really very comprehensive. It has a lot of good information. A little light reading at night is always good. And, you know, those are things that I really encourage. I mean, I can be really everywhere as much as possible in Petaluma. But just to look at our website and to kind of do a little education of what goes where. And if you don't know, we have a thing that says what goes where, and you can type it in, and it tells you which cart to put it in.
Oh, so I'm on your website right now, and I'm actually not, I don't know if I'm just being an idiot, but I'm not finding the link to tell me what things can be recycled and what
it says what goes where.
Where is that?
So look under Petaluma.
Oh, okay. I must be like on the main site for you guys or something.
Yeah. So you have to navigate just a little bit. But
I see. So go to my local. I got it. Okay.
And it has all the rates on there, which is if you ever want to look and, you know, to see if you would like to get a bin for your house or a bulky item pickup, which is different now in Petaluma. We don't do the weeks anymore. You know, I used to get people say to me, oh, when's the clean-out week? And I go, well, it was last week. And so now we do it by appointment, which I think is much better because people that are cleaning out their garage or they're cleaning out, a parent's garage or, you know, you have a rental or something, you can actually schedule those. And that seems much more convenient for people.
So what is a clean-out? Yeah.
Well, a clean-out is, you know, when you would have your debris boxes around, but...
Well, it used to be, you used to be able to put things on the curb. So it used to be a week in Petaluma in the fall and spring.
Uh-huh.
You could put bulky item pickups on the curb. Usually it was either 14 bags of garbage.
14?
14.
Uh-huh.
Or 7 with a bulky item pickup. Bulky item means like a desk or something like that, some bigger furniture. So we do that not by appointment now. We just don't do a specific week.
Okay.
And that seems to be much better. I've kind of done a little poll on a lot of that on my booths that I do in Petaluma and ask people how they like that better. And it seems to be working out much better because everybody misses that week.
But you're talking exactly. And then all of a sudden you realize it's Sunday, and you have to scramble to get everything done. So when you're talking about bulky items, though, or, you know, it's, you know, like I would bring plastic, you know, piping, metal piping. I mean,
well, and right now I always tell people are encouraged if you have something that's a little different that way, like it's piping or PVC, is to call and see if we accept that.
Okay.
You know, it's always better to, if you have something a little bit different. I get people ask me all the time about just certain kind of weird items that they have. And if I don't know the answer, I'll try to get it. Or I say that maybe to call. There's a lot of hazardous waste, actually. That's in Petaluma. Right. So I encourage people to call our, you know.
What kind of hazardous waste are you talking about?
Well, a lot of people have old paint.
Right.
And things like that in their garages. And especially, you know, Roundup. Things like that that people just have but they don't use anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have toxic Roundups every so often in Petaluma. Usually they're at Lucchese. Mm-hmm. But they're advertised in the recycle guide every year. And so I try to, we have that on our website. We also have a link to Zero Waste Sonoma now. They just rebranded. So it used to be the Waste Agency. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things like that, electronic pickups. We do an e-waste event every so often in Petaluma, and that's in the guide. So I encourage people to really kind of, you know, look at the websites and find out the dates. And if you're 80 years and older, out at Meacham, they have a rover that comes and just picks that up. And you make appointments for all of these.
They come to your house?
If you're 80 years and older,
So I have a
I'm
really
not quite there.
Specific question.
Close.
So I've got dog food and cat food cans, and I know you take tin cans, you take aluminum cans, but then it says no liquids or food. So what I've been doing is I kind of rinse them to get the food residue out of it. Am I still not supposed to be recycling that?
No, you can recycle that. You just want to, our kind of mantra now is clean and dry. So
okay.
People ask me, what does that mean? And I go, it means clean and dry. So China's only taking 0.5% of contamination now. And so in the past, they took 5% of contamination in bales. So clean and dry means rinsing a little bit. I use the dish water that I have left over from the dishes at night, and I rinse mm-hmm. my recycling and put it in. We want it as clean as dry because once it is sorted out, it's more marketable for us mm-hmm. to have clean mm-hmm. and dry, and then, you know, we have bales that can actually be sold.
What's interesting is like this little catch-22. You're supposed to be conserving water.
Exactly.
And then every time, you know, like I see a can that I really want to rinse out, I'm rinsing out, making sure the debris is out of there before putting it in my recycling, but then I'm working using water. And so basically kind of what you're saying is, you know, maybe we should stack our recycling mm-hmm. until you do your dishes, and then if you have, you know, dirty water, just rinse it off in the dirty water. Is a way of getting around using so much water.
I think we're a society of everything has to be done right now.
Right.
And so when I do presentations, I normally get people that ask me, how do you clean out a mayonnaise jar or a peanut butter jar? So you put a little soap and water in there and put the lid on and maybe shake it every time you come into the kitchen. And then in the morning, you pour it out, and then it's clean and dry. I think,
but it's not really dry unless you take a towel and dry it.
Well, it's as much as you can get out of that. You know, a couple drips.
All right.
But
and
then you put the lid back on so that doesn't contaminate any of your things.
It's funny because I was going to train the opposite way. Don't rinse anything out because you're wasting water. And, you know, so I was just throwing stuff in like a mayonnaise jar. You know, it would be pretty much used up, mm-hmm. but there'd be a little debris
in there. What happens in that scenario? Yeah. Do you just throw it away or what?
If it's got contamination all in it?
Yeah, you get a mayonnaise jar, and it's just got some mayonnaise on the inner part.
Well, I think you have to do your best. That's when common sense kind of comes in.
Right.
You know, you have a whole full jar of mayonnaise. You're not going to put that into recycling. If it's a little tiny bit left in there, I would not say to put it in the garbage. But
I guess the question, too, is what's the process? Like, isn't the glass smashed and melted down? Isn't the aluminum smashed and melted down? Why does it matter if there's little food on it?
You know, on the glass with glass, it's a little bit different because glass goes domestically.
Okay.
It's more the contamination of other recycling.
Okay.
So when you have a lot of recycling going into a single stream, and you have a lot of contamination with a lot of food waste and water, or, you know, somebody throwing in a cup of coffee into your recycling, that's going to contaminate that whole recycling. So you think about that when you go down a street and you're picking up recycling at every single house. You know, if everybody does the right thing, then that was really good, clean, dry recycling that can be sorted out fairly easily. When you start putting in food waste, when I do presentations, I always ask, so who has the smallest garbage can here? And a lot of people raise their hands. And I said, and who at the end of the week decides that last bag of garbage can be tucked in underneath their recycling because they just don't have room? And I get a long pause in the audience. I said, that really causes the most contamination is that last bag of garbage that people put into the recycling. They think that that's going to be okay, that somebody's going to take that out and deal with it. I think it just takes a little time and effort to recycle.
Yeah, it does.
And I think people are in a hurry a lot of times now in our society that we just don't take that extra 30 seconds to...
I'm looking at what's unacceptable.
Yeah,
for composting. Okay, so this is for composting, like aluminum, biodegradable, compostable labels, plastic labels, cat litter, ceramic dishware. So where does that stuff go?
So I can kind of go through. So compost is really anything you can eat, and that's how I teach it to all the kids at school. I say, can you eat plastic? No. Can you eat glass? No.
You can eat cardboard.
You can. And dirty cardboard can go into compost.
That's what we learned last time when we had someone from Daily Ag. They said the pizza boxes can go there.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know.
It depends on the type of inks.
Yeah. And you know, there's a few things. Wax cardboard can't go in because it has plastic in it now. But anything you can eat can go in. We take all food scraps, meat, cheese, bones, everything can go into your compost. So people say yard waste, and so we're really trying to change that mindset and say compost. Because really it's a comprehensive program where you can do all your food scraps, all your yard waste, napkins, paper towels, tissues. It goes into our compost facilities at a very high rate of temperature, and all that is burned off.
Wow.
So
that's
so
where
like
that's
tissues.
The next
yeah, so between 16 and 90 days, when all is said and done, you come out with beautiful compost.
Wow.
Black gold, we call it. So it's one of the programs I'm really, really pushing for Petaluma, because I think, you know, everybody in Petaluma really does want to do the right thing. I hear everybody say, we just want to do the right thing. And I'm like, I'm there to help you do the right thing.
So those tissues the tissues that I buy has lotion in it.
That's fine.
Still okay?
Mm-hmm. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Jude, if you're listening, we were both wrong.
Huh. The only thing I ask is if you clean with any kind of like 409 or it's some kind of chemical, if you have a paper towel that's that, I would put it in the garbage. I wouldn't put chemicals in.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify one thing. You're saying for those tissues, that doesn't go in the recycling. That can go in the compost?
Absolutely.
Okay. No. But not in the recycling?
No. Paper towel and tissue are at the very end of their life cycle. So if you think about it, cardboard can be made into other things. You know, newspapers can be made into other things. When you hit tissue, toilet paper, paper towel, that's at the end of that life cycle. And so really those need to either go into the garbage or they need to go into compost.
Wow. So what about textile recycling? Old clothes?
Yep.
What do you do?
You know, way back when I started with the old company, they used to take it in Petaluma. They don't no longer take textiles in Petaluma. I say donate as much as you can. Goodwill, St. Vincent's de Paul, all these different organizations take.
What about that T-shirt with a million holes in it?
You know, Goodwill will take a lot of that because they do a rag kind of thing with it. We actually.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I didn't know that either.
Well, you could use it for rags.
Well, now you do, but then when it's done being a rag, then what do you do with it?
At the end of its life cycle, if it's really shredded, you can put it in the garbage. I really encourage reuse and giving things away. But at the end of its life cycle, it really needs to go in the garbage. A lot of people think that they can recycle it. And it's very problematic in our facility because we have spindles that all of that gets wrapped up in, plastic bags, clothing. People think that they can recycle hoses, which you cannot.
That's not a bad thing when people are thinking in terms of how do I recycle this?
No.
That's a good thing.
It is.
But it's hard. Yeah. Like I had old pillows I needed to throw away, and I knew inside there was... I didn't even know what this synthetic stuff is that's inside of some pillows now. What do you do with that?
Yeah, that's actually garbage.
What do you do with the pill bottles?
Pill bottles are very, our screen is about 3 inches, 3 to 4 inches. So I would say when I look at my hand, about 4 inches of here to here. Like you can't see it on the radio, but how I teach it is anything that's about less than 4 inches is really hard to recycle because we have screens that screen all that out.
Okay, so, that's why you can't throw away bottle caps and recycle unless they're attached to the bottle.
Exactly. Okay. And so when I tell people if you have a lot of pill, like, you know, if you're cleaning out your parents' old cabinet, like I've been doing my mom's lately, is I take all the medication. Police department will take it back in a Ziploc bag, so you can take that there.
They take it up at Meacham, too.
They do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then the little pill things, I say, if you have a lot of them, find a nursery school, call somebody, put in, you know, they love those little bottles, and they use them for a lot of projects. You know, it's, if you're, you know, like me, I'm kind of a person, I can't throw things away. But I try to find a use for them, or I try to find somebody who's going to take it.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, like you said, I grew up in Pendleton. We're kind of cleaning my mom's place out, and we put a couple things. We had an old tricycle, and it's gone. We put it on the side of the house, and somebody took it. So I'm really happy that somebody's going to love that.
Yeah. I have to say, Pendleton is really great. You put something in front of your yard, which, I mean, I don't because I live in a cul-de-sac, but people pick it up, like, within an hour, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, couches, desks.
I put stuff out, meaning to take it to someplace, somebody took it, yeah.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago, I decided to clear out my closet, so, I mean, it was, like, a huge job. I still have the bags in the hallway because I'm afraid I might have thrown something away I might want to retrieve. So I've decided I'm going to go home today, put everything in my trunk, and get rid of it and take it to...
Is it legal to just put stuff on the sidewalk?
It is not. And my brother actually put it by our garage. He was making a pile to take to the... Actually, he was making a pile to take for my mom to go and do a dump run. So some of this was in there. It was an old tricycle, a couple old things, and it's right next to my mom's garage. But I drove by 2 nights ago, and the tricycle's gone.
Last year, I got rid of my daughter's first bike, and I've had it for, you know, like 30, you know, some odd years, and I still think of that bike and see, why did I do that? I should have kept it. And I knew that it's the wrong attitude. I should get rid of stuff.
Somebody will take that bike. Somebody will take that bike and it'll be their new bike.
Well, that's true.
You're just having separation anxiety.
I am having separation anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
So really, with all of these plastics that can't be recycled, that's all just supposed to go into the landfill?
Well, we do recycle a lot of the plastics. I think a lot of the single-use plastics that you're talking about.
Yeah, like food packaging, I guess you don't accept. Like say I bought Oscar Mayer bologna package or something like that, and it's that hard plastic. That can't be recycled, right?
That's into the garbage. Hard plastic can be recycled. And we're talking about soft plastic that is very problematic with us.
Like saran wraps
and baggies,
Ziploc.
Yeah. So when I first mentioned it's like, you know, plastic water bottles can be recycled. We take cups, jugs.
Mustard bottles.
This needs to be clean and dry. Soft plastic, single-use plastic that you're talking about, like the little Keurig cups that are horrible for the environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're too small. They go straight into the landfill. They can't be recycled. And, you know, product responsibility needs to be part of the issue on this. So when you put something on the market, you need to, you know, be responsible for, you know, cradle to grave on how that's going to be taken care of. And I think, you know, and that's really what the recycle and compost and, you know, as the haulers, we're really getting to is, you know, product responsibility has to come from higher up.
So, like, what's the, is there a percentage that you can give as far as people that really are recycling correctly versus people that are not because they're confused about what goes in each bin?
You know, I don't have a specific percentage for Petaluma right now, but, you know, I think we do. You know, what I see with my thing is if I've done education and you know, people usually are really doing the right thing.
And with the children, it's probably most important.
Yeah, and I go into schools. I do presentations in schools, and I think for the most part, everybody does the right thing. But they may have issues with, like you said, being, like you said, the wishful recycler, where they put in, like, a plastic bag, and or they put all their good, clean recycling into a plastic bag in the recycle.
Oh,
and I'm like, do not use, no plastic bags.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when I do presentations, people are like, well, you mean like a Ziploc bag? I mean, no plastic bags. Or like a vegetable bag? No plastic bags. So I think people get in their mindset that one plastic bag is better than the other, or one goes in and one doesn't. So across the board, we just put no plastic bags.
Which includes a garbage can liner as well, correct?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
In our recycling, we don't, you know, use a garbage can liner. We do with the garbage. And I actually think we should get away from that, because what you could do is just take newspaper and line your garbage can and then wash it every week.
Yes.
I mean, it's a lot smarter than, because I'm really having a conflict with myself about,
Garbage can liner?
Well, no, using plastic in the house.
Yeah.
I'm really very aware of it. Every time I use a plastic bag, or if I use Saran wrap, you know, other means to do what the need is. But like when I go to Costco, I mean, you go there and you buy a product and you have to, you know, pry it out of this big plastic, you know, container that they've, you know, molded together. So what happens with that plastic?
If it's hard plastic, you can put it into recycling.
You can, okay.
Well, what about plastic bags that are made of, like, some sort of cornstarch or something? I mean, there are some plastic bags like that. Can those go in the recycling?
Those go in compost.
Maybe.
So compostable plastic in Petaluma is not accepted.
That's what I heard.
It's not accepted in recycling or compost.
You mean they're paying all that money for those compostable bags for no reason?
So your facility down in Redwood, Redwood Compost, which is where all of the compost goes for residential in Petaluma, does not take compostable plastic. They're an organic compost facility, and so makes it a little harder for me, because that's residential. It does not take any compost. So whether you have compostable bags, compostable cups, cutlery, that is all goes into the garbage.
See,
what's interesting is...
But then it does... It self-destructs in the landfill.
Well, the landfill is an open landfill, and so you have to think that, you know, probably some of it is broken down, but at some point, that landfill gets bulldozed over and over again every day.
Yeah.
And there's layers and layers down in there, and there's no water, there's no sun, there's no, there isn't really compost in there.
Okay. Yeah, a lot
of that's interesting that you say that, because I board my dogs and they insist on portioning out their meals in plastic bags, so that's why I took to compostable bags. And I always overpack the food in case something happens and I don't get home. I had dog food sitting in one of those compostable bags, sitting in their little suitcase, and the next time I went to use it, I thought, there's some portions of dog food already in there. The bags were already composting themselves with the dog food in it.
Oh, really?
Yes. The bag fell apart. Yeah, the bag fell apart when I picked it up. So,
but it was not light, so it was in a closed container. Because, I mean, sometimes light will, you know, compost versus...
Yeah, exposure to UV.
Yeah.
It was in their duffel bag in the garage.
Well, Ecology doesn't own the facilities that we're now hauling to for Sonoma County for compost. So our commercial goes to the Richmond facility, and they accept compostable bags commercially.
Okay.
So when I set up a compost bin, which, like, Lagunitas has a compost bin, I just set up a Saks joint. Restaurant, and they're doing a phenomenal job. Looks absolutely beautiful. They can use compostable bags in a bin. When a bin, I mean a dumpster, they can use those in there. It goes to a different facility on that. And so our residential, like I said, goes to a facility that will not take that.
I'm torn.
What's interesting, because a woman, Naomi Crawford, who owns a
lunch house
in town, you know, she came to the city council and talked about, you know, getting rid of styrofoam and, you know, all these plastics and going to compostable, which I think is still better, even if it's going in the landfill, than having styrofoam in the landfill.
Absolutely.
And but what's interesting is that somebody made some comment on Facebook that said, go, oh, now I have, you're taking my plastic away for, you know, in my paper plates away. No, we're just saying use a different product.
If you use, you know, I always say the old white paper plates that we used when I was a kid,
right? Mm-hmm.
Those can all go in compost.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, you know, the
Chinette?
Yeah, the Chinette can all go in compost.
Really?
But not
that
plastic.
That is interesting.
So, and that's what I said. Can you eat a plastic straw?
No.
You know?
No,
so, I mean, that's the kind of thing you have to think
about. I have metal ones.
Well, now, have you been hearing what's happening? Like, people on the right wing now have been using that as, like, a thing to slam Democrats. They want to take away your plastic straws.
Yeah, I'm not six anymore, and I don't really need a straw. And so that's how I kind of look at it is, if you really need a straw, there's all kinds of alternatives now.
Yeah, my daughter bought this really nice metal one.
That's what I have.
A little thing to clean it.
Yeah.
She loves it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is my burning question that I need to ask. I've been reading a lot of articles about, you know, China is no longer accepting the plastics, apparently, from the U.S., and they're going to other places like Indonesia and Thailand, and it's not being disposed of necessarily, it's not even really being recycled, and in many cases it's being just put into a landfill or put into the water. What do you do to guarantee that, you know, in good faith, when we put something in the recycling bin, it actually gets recycled versus ending up in the ocean somewhere off of Indonesia?
Well, the first thing is we wouldn't be in business. We recover resources. So ecology's first thing is, what can we get from recycling and compost that we can recover and use to market? So we market, we have bales. I always encourage people, I go, you know, we do tours every so often at our Matura recovery facility. And so there's bales of aluminum, tin, there's bales of plastic, there's bales of, you know, all kinds of material up there that we sell on the market.
Yeah.
When those bales are sold, we don't necessarily track them all the way to where they're being sold.
Exactly.
And what's happening on the other side. But they're paying for that bale.
Yeah.
And so...
But this is what's happening. People are just taking money. They go, I'll take your money, thanks. And then they just dump it in the ocean somewhere. They dump it somewhere in the jungle. Or, you know, I mean, there's quite a few articles on this.
Well, it seems like, I mean, this is like... this is a global problem.
It's a totally global problem.
Yeah, and you really need to have more legislation directing what, I mean, so you can follow that source until the end.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how a company would do that without having government involved to making sure that happens.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of goes back to the other point that was made, is that there needs to be a responsibility. When a manufacturer, for example, makes something, there needs to be an element of responsibility that thing that they've made can then somehow get back into the recycling chain. It would seem to me that the people that are doing the collection also have a responsibility to make sure that it's not that just they pay to have it taken somewhere, but they are assured somehow through some certification process or something that it's not going to end up in the ocean, for example. And it's just multiple levels of responsibility, because it seems like it's, to some extent, the buck just gets passed. It's like the manufacturer just leaves it to the consumer leaves it to the curbside sells it to somebody else. How do we make sure it doesn't go back into the ocean?
Well, I think part of it, Jason, is that we have to really make sure we elect people that are not going to go ahead and get rid of the EPA. I mean, it really is. It's government that really needs to make sure that that happens.
Well,
I'm not convinced that it's a business because I think it's a combination.
The problem with this is it's outside of EPA.
Right. Well, that's true.
It goes to another country, and then you're international. You're dealing with international law.
Anyway,
it's a very complicated issue, and this is why I don't expect you to have the answer.
And I don't really have the answer. I mean, we bail it and we sell it as a commodity. Well, and people are actually spending money to buy our plastic and so, you know, in good faith, I mean, if you're buying a product, you're not just going to throw it away. And so, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it would be interesting, like, to track it, like, you know, where your plastic goes. And when it goes to China, what's happening? How are they, you know, what is the process actually to recycle? And how environmental friendly is that process? I don't know what the process is, and I'd like to know, but what do you do with medical waste? Because there's so much plastic in medical waste, and I know that they put it in, you know, autoclaves to, you know, clean, you know, to make sure that it is clean and safe. So what happens to a lot of that plastic?
A lot of the hospitals, and especially in my territory, have specialized things where they... It's almost like a separate service that deals with that medical waste.
Correct.
And so we don't really deal with it. We deal with a lot of the plastics that can be recycled. But, you know, I did an audit in Santa Rosa when I first started and with Kaiser. And I was trying to figure out their waste stream up there and their recycling, and came across where they deal with all of their stuff from the OR. So that goes all in a separate. So that was kind of an interesting audit.
Well, there's also medical waste that goes straight into the trash. For instance, I have a housemate who does home dialysis, and I can't even begin to tell you the amount of plastic tubing that goes straight into the garbage can. And I'm just amazed that that industry hasn't come up with some way of figuring out how to recycle all those products.
And that's every day.
Every day. Yeah. We have tons and tons of garbage. It's incredible. But anyway.
Well, you know, I just had some dental work done the other day, and it was really interesting because when they were preparing for the crown, they took an impression so they could make the temporary. But the bite registration and the margins were all done on a computer. So they have this, you know, wand they put in your mouth, and so they get the bite registration, so they get every aspect of the tooth. And so I watched how they were, you know, doing this process. And so the thing, my point is that otherwise there's more plastic that they're using, you know, to take impressions. So you didn't have to have, like, second and third impressions. And, I like the process quite a bit because of that reason. But the stream was really reduced as far as plastic, you know, and these materials.
Right.
And I was looking at it more as a convenient for myself because I really liked not having the impression material. But I realize now that there's another benefit to it and how much more of a benefit you can have.
We're getting short on time. There was one thing that I wanted to bring up that we've discussed here on the show before, and that's cannabis waste. Mm-hmm. Where is that going?
So we are hauling some of that. I haven't done any in Petaluma myself.
Uh-huh.
But I know that there's a process with our company that has to be, there's all kinds of laws that pertain around there that has to be certified.
Mm-hmm.
I know three or four of our waste zero specialists have been dealing with their territories. And so it's an interesting product that has to be disposed of.
And why is that not being used to recycle for, I guess that's not the product you use for clothing then.
No, this is just the final, you know, leaves and things like that.
Right.
That are,
I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't in the business, so to speak. They're just self-growing for their own benefit, and they're just throwing that in the garbage can.
Or they're recycled, you know, or their compost pile. If you have one at home.
But it doesn't belong in compost.
There's a really
good article. If you have a home compost, it will compost.
Oh, yeah.
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 would be a better way.
Very good.
It's going to be. It's going
to
be.
Ecology. I'm going to put a link to this in the Atlantic.
It's going to be an interesting thing on the whole cannabis, because it's just really a new, a brand new kind of industry that I think everybody's just kind of wading through and seeing, you know, where the hauler comes into that.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with the law, I mean, they're, you know, you have these child safety containers and they're all plastic. And so most of the marijuana that's being purchased from these dispensaries is in some type of little plastic thing. And I'm not sure, but some of those containers are relay small. Can those be recycled?
They can. And actually, we're dealing with Mercy Wellness.
But not the bags, not the little plastic bags.
No, but Mercy Wellness does a thing where they do a reuse of their bag.
Oh,
and they also are coming up where they have two or three different products that can be recycled, containers. You know, I think that industry is, like I said, so new that they're really wanted to be strict in the first part of it.
I have an idea. Why don't they make all the containers out of hemp?
Oh, boy.
Well,
here we go.
Okay, just,
yeah, we have 1 minute left.
Okay, just
that's
quickly.
It.
Mattresses.
So we're going to be starting the Bye Bye Mattress program probably in the next month.
So that's your program.
Well, we're going to be incorporating that into our Recology program.
Great.
And so I just actually got pamphlets on that.
Oh, good. Okay, so I want to thank Lisa Moore from Recology for being here today. And we're out of time. God, we could do this for another hour.
We could go on for another hour.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Maybe we will have you back again.
We should.
Go ahead, Jason. Hurry up.
I would say we should, particularly with what our city's doing now, to try to reduce waste. So I think it'd be very good to have her back on.
I think so, too. That said, you've been listening to Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas. Co-host with
Happy Fishing Smile Janice
Peter Thompson, who's going fishing tomorrow, and Jason Davies, who's been on the telephone with us today and is down
in Monterey.
Yeah.
And have a safe trip home, Jason. Again, thank you, Lisa, and everybody have a great extended weekend. Happy Labor Day.
And you too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
we,
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 we.